This is God's true word to us. The only time I know I'm speaking truth is when I'm quoting scripture to you. It is a truth of God's word. It's a truth. And it'll always be the truth. Do you understand? It is the inspired word of the living God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's 2 Timothy series continues today with the second part of his message, The Bible Is. Now, while part one focused on the importance of godly examples in our lives, the second part of the study shifts focus to the ultimate source of truth, the Holy Scriptures. Now, let's join Pastor Bill.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him in the holy mountain. That's the Mount of Transfiguration again. So, listen carefully. So, we have the prophetic word confirmed. Confirmed. Loved one, what is he saying? He says, listen, we were eyewitnesses of the glory. We were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We heard the voice of God. We saw Jesus crucified. We saw Jesus rise from the dead. We saw Jesus ascend unto heaven. Are you following me? He says, we had all these experiences. He said, but none are more powerful than the prophetic word confirmed. Why? For it is sure, it is certain, it is infallible, it is unchangeable. It will outlast the entire universe, amen? And he's saying, what he's saying here is this, no experience holds greater authority than the word of God. And he goes on and he says in 2 Peter 1:20, listen very carefully, knowing this first, this is major importance, first is a priority. He says that no prophecy of Scripture throughout the entire word of God, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means it's not the private opinion of the writer, nor did it even come into his mind. Listen carefully now. For prophecy never came by the will of man. Never by my own will or the will of man. He says, but holy men, men that were set apart for God, they spoke, and listen how they spoke, how they penned what they penned. It says, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word moved means, it's a picture of a ship being carried along in the ocean by the wind. So what is Peter telling us? He's saying these men were controlled and perfectly controlled and perfectly directed only by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Oh, listen, what does that mean? It means that the Bible is, every word is the inspired word, God-breathed word of God in the word. Whenever the Bible speaks, it means that God is speaking. Now, listen to me. In the original manuscripts of the Bible you hold in your hand, in the original manuscripts, there is not one thing that is in them that God did not intend to be there. In the original manuscripts. Okay? You open your Bible, there's chapters, there's verses. That didn't come from God. Okay? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay, those little footnotes and all that. No. I'm talking about the original manuscripts. Now listen to me. The writers only penned exactly what God wanted them to pen, meaning in the original manuscripts. And you know how they did it? I want you to listen to me, and I pray you never forget this. As they did it without one error. Do you hear that? This, the Bible, is God's word. It is God breathed, loved one, and that is a miracle. And you say, well, I don't know about all those stories in the Old Testament. I don't think it's inspired. I mean, you know, Noah and his ark, you know, and you know, the Philistine giant or whatever you might, you know, the walls of Jericho. Well, is the old covenant inspired by God? Is it God breathed? Let me give you the scripture. Acts 1:15, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's already ascended to heaven. Judas has betrayed him, and Judas is now dead. And Peter says he stood up in the midst of his disciples, and he said, "Men and brethren, this scripture," that's important, "had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit," see, not man, "the Holy Spirit spake by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those," meaning the priest, "a guide to those who arrested Jesus." Acts 1:20 now. "For it is written in the Old Testament," is written in the book of Psalms, Psalm 69:25, "Let his dwelling place be desolate." That was written before Judas was ever born. Amen? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
This is the word of God. He says, "Let his dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in it." Here comes Psalm 109:8. You ready? "And let another take his office." That was written over 1,000 years before Judas ever killed himself. And who took Judas's office? Matthias, remember? Now, yes, Paul, I would go along with that too. But Matthias is also the one that they selected, remember? Now, that's the word of God. Listen to me. In the Old Testament alone, just the Old Testament, listen, do you know that the writers of those books, they list over 3,800 times and said this was from the word of God? 3,800 times. How about these? It says the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, it claims here that the word of God over 680 times to divine inspiration. How about the historical books? 418 times. How about the poetic books? 195 times. How about the prophetic books? Over 1,307 times it claims that they were divinely inspired, breathed by God. In the New Testament, 300, let me read it, this fact, 300 direct quotations and at least 1,000 indirect references from the Old Testament, almost every one of them declaring that they were God's own inspired word. Jesus Christ, our Lord, what did he tell us when he was fighting there in the temptation scene? The devil was attacking him. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written." He said that to the devil. Don't you love that? "It is written." That word means it is written, and it still stands written, and it will always be written. "Man shall not live by bread alone." Jesus, how should man live? "But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now listen to me. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Is that in the old covenant? If Jesus quoted it, is that inspired? Do you see what I'm getting at this morning? I'm not trying to prove that the Bible is God-breathed. I know it is God-breathed. I'm giving you these facts, loved one. Man, listen, do you want God to speak to you?
Yes.
No, I don't know. Do you want God to speak to you?
Yes.
Well, open your Bible. That's all you have to do. Open your Bible. It is the inspired word of God. Oh, listen, it is God-breathed. You know, I look and I think about the unity of the Bible, just in like my Bible. Do you know there's the New King James? It's over 780,000 words in my Bible. Matter of fact, think about it. I mean, it has more than 66 books. It has 39 in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, 27 in the New. Then you have the historical books, you have the poetic, you have all these things. And listen, the Bible was written by 40 different authors. Think about that. 40 different authors, and they all had different backgrounds. I mean, think about Peter. He's a fisherman. Can you believe he could even write? No, come on. You know, I mean, Matthew, the tax collector. Luke was a doctor. Paul was a genius. He was a genius. Incredible man. King David, the shepherd boy. Look at Solomon, the wisest man. It was written by kings and peasants. And go through the Bible, all these 40 different writers. Now listen, they lived, they had different vocations. They had different backgrounds. They lived in different, some of them in different countries, different lands. And think about all of that. And it took 1,600 years for this to happen. And it was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Think about that. And here's the problem. No, here's the solution. You put all that together, and you know what you'll find? The writers over 1,600 years, different backgrounds, all the rest of it now, there was not one single contradiction between them. That's the word that you hold in your hand. That is the Bible. And did you know that what they wrote, like I said, never contradicting one another, that is a mathematical impossibility. And there's only one explanation. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And they penned only what God intended to be penned and only what God wanted to be penned. Amen? You see, the Bible is God-breathed. It is your Bible. Listen, it's the most unique book in the world. You have what no other person has. We have what no other religion has. We have God's Word from heaven on this earth. Do you understand? I mean, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, how precious is your Word? The Bible, we use a word, inerrancy. The Bible, that word means free from error. Do you believe the Bible is free from error in the original manuscripts?
Yes.
We use that word infallible or infallibility, meaning that the Bible does not tend to error. It never misleads a person. It never deceives a person. And you know why? Because God cannot lie. You have everything in your Bible is true. And you know what's amazing? Verse 16 that we're going to look at again. It was penned from prison, loved one, by Paul. Look at it. He says, every scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Bible is what? Profitable. Say that with me. Profitable. Is your Bible profitable to you? Oh, look what it does. The Bible is profitable for doctrine. That's teaching, of course. In other words, what is right? What is correct in this life? The Bible is something else. It's profitable for reproof. That means what's not right. Okay? The Bible is profitable for correction. That means how to get right. The Bible is profitable for instruction, or literally training in righteousness, which means right conduct or how to live right. Listen, the Bible is profitable. And you know why? It does three things, three fundamental things. There's many, many more, but three, just three, that every person that has ever been born on this planet ask. Three questions. The first question is, where did I come from? Where did I come from? Well, my teacher said I came from a monkey. Where did I come from? Well, we know where we came from. The first parents were Adam and Eve, amen? I'm so thankful I know where I came from. You know, somebody says, well, do you know all of your lineage go back, you know, da da da, like the king? You know, well, no, but I can go back to Adam. That's pretty good. And the next question, why am I here? Well, I can tell you that you're not a mistake. I can tell you that God knew you before the foundation of the earth. I can tell you that you're here because God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life, and He loves you. Amen. He wants to use you for His glory. And He also wants you, the plan is to get you to heaven, to be there with Him forever and ever. Well, what happens? Okay, my next question was, well, what happens when I die? What's my destiny? Well, if you place your trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be with God forever and ever and ever. And those who don't will be eternally separated from God. Well, I don't like that. That's too narrow. There's many roads to God. Yes, sir, that's right. Many roads, all roads lead to God. Yes, they do. But the thing is you might not like it when you get there. Because you're either going to stand before Him to be judged or to be accepted. Amen? Yeah, so yeah, all roads lead to God. They sure do. But it's either going to be salvation or judgment. Listen, the Word of God, the Bible does something that no other book can do. Look at it, verse 17. That the man of God may be complete. Oh, do you know the Bible tells us that we are complete in Christ? The Word of God says, you know what? You'll be completely fitted, outfitted for service for me in your life to live. He says, not only that, you'll be equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible is. Hudson Taylor said this, God's work done in good ways will never lack God's good supply. Equipped for every good work. So the Word of God, what does the Bible do? What is the Bible? The Bible equips you and it completes you. Without God's Word, man is incomplete, and without God's Word, man is not equipped. And I know that sincere people and sincere Christians over the years, in my lifetime, for example, godly people that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're sincere in their writing about with self-help books or books on psychology and all the rest of it. But loved one, listen, did you know that the Bible is all we really need. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not beating anybody up, but listen to me. I believe God's word. See, it's God breathed. It's God's truth who cannot lie. Amen? Okay, so if I need counseling, where do you go for counseling? Okay, let me give you the scripture. All right, Psalm 119:24. Your word, it's my delight, and here it is. My counselors. The Bible is my counselor. Oh, listen, if you want to get your marriage on track, you have to read God's word about marriage and do what it says. Amen? If your heart is broken, you can run to Jesus, and you know what he's going to tell you? Blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. You can go to, it's my counsel. But Lord, I'm so down, and I can go to open up my word to Hebrews 13:5. Bill, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never fail you. I will never leave you without support. So you could boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen? You see, I can run to the word, and I said, this is true, and it's written for me. It's written for you, loved one. How about this scripture about being complete? Ephesians 6, verse 17. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Of tells us something. The sword of tells me the origin and the source. Okay, who is it? Well, it's the sword supplied by the Holy Spirit of God, which is what? The word of the living God. Talking about putting on our armor, right? That's our only offensive weapon in the armor of God. Now listen. You're not complete and equipped if you don't have that. The sword of the Lord, amen? Which is the word of God. Listen, Satan's greatest attack is against God's word. He doesn't want you to learn God's word. He doesn't want you to know God's word. Matter of fact, he attacks God's word. What was the first thing he did in the garden with Eve? Has indeed God said? First thing he does is, oh, God didn't say that. Oh, you won't eat that fruit. No, Eve, if you eat it, you're not going to die. Your eyes are going to be open. What's wrong with you? No, he's always going to attack the word because he hates the word of God. Oh, listen, there are Christians today, and I love the body of Christ, but they're wandering. They're going from church to church. You know, they're trying to find, where do I fit? Where do I do this and all that? But here's the problem. They wander in, and they don't know that they're spiritually starving. In other words, they go to this, and they go, well, I'm trying to live off topical sermons. Well, I like topical sermons, but you can't live off topical sermons. It doesn't work that way. But I'm trying to live off feel-good sermons. I need to feel good. Well, that's not going to help you at all. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't comfort us. It can, amen? Yeah. Sometimes the Word of God doesn't comfort me when it corrects me. Hey, are you with me? So feel-good sermons, I mean, okay, I can take them for a while. Then I start feeling bad. No, listen to me. Satan will do anything to get you in a church that waters down the word. Satan will do anything for Bible professors and Bible college and Bible teachers and all the rest of it to water down God's word, and he'll do anything he can to stop a pastor from teaching through the entire word of God. You know, you'll hear that in your ear. Now, Bill, who wants? No one's going to show up on Wednesday night if you teach Leviticus. Come on. Well, the Lord will. The Lord will show up. That's why, you know, when I taught Leviticus, what did I entitle it? Loving Leviticus. It was a great study, too, if you love Leviticus. Did you know? Let me show you something. Do you know if you don't understand Leviticus, you'll never understand Hebrews? They go together. You see how important the Word of God is? So, you know, the thing is that, you know, I won't water down God's Word. It is what it is. It is the word of the living God. See, the devil knows. He knows that without God's word, you're not complete and you are certainly unequipped. Amen? He knows that the word of God is a source of all spiritual transformation and all growth in the believer's life. He knows that. And let me tell you what else he knows. He knows that the word of God has authority. He knows that the word of God is living. He knows that the word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12, amen? For the word of God is what? Sharper. Oh boy, it is sharper. It's more powerful than any two-edged sword, and it'll cut into your heart, amen? It'll expose the things of your heart. Listen, The Word of God, the Bible, your Bible is alive right now. The Word of God is alive, loved one. And his greatest tactic of the devil is this. He wants to not only be against the Word of God, he wants you to stop you from opening up your Bible, knowing your Bible, and applying your Bible. That's what he wants. You know, E.W. Tozer said this. He said, whoever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy. And however harmless it may appear to me. I want you to listen to me now. When it says to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word there in Greek is not logos. Logos, there it is. That's the written, there it is, or on the page. The word is rhema. Let me put it to you this way. Logos is when the information on the page becomes a revelation in your heart. In other words, it comes alive. You know, you can read scripture and sometimes it just jumps off the page at you, right? Well, when that happens, that's when the Logos becomes living, rhema. And whenever you have the living Word of God, I'm telling you something, living in you, you'll stand no matter what. Now listen, Jesus, what did Jesus do? He told us this. I'm going to repeat a scripture again. Jesus told the devil, he said, it is written. It stands written. It will always stand. It'll always be written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, Old Covenant, wilderness scripture, okay? Now listen very carefully. I want you to think, did Jesus use any other weapon to defeat the devil than the Word of God? No. No, do you understand? No other weapon was used at all. Jesus demonstrated Satan's defeat with the written Word of the living God. Why? Because the living Word of God is God breathed. It is alive. It is real. It is true. It's unchangeable. It is eternal. It lasts forever. Do you understand? You have it in your midst. How can we ever think of neglecting it, loved one? We need it more today than ever in our life. The Bible tells us this in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word, these words are settled in heaven, settled. They are sure. They are certain. They are forever. The Bible, the words in your Bible, loved one, these words are eternal. Let me give you the scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, assuredly, I say to you, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot, that's a little letter, one jot or one tittle, that's like a comma, will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. In one of my favorite psalms about the Bible is this. Your Bible is this. Listen carefully. Psalm 119:160. The entirety of your word is truth. From Genesis to Revelation in the original manuscripts is God breathed. Do you understand? It is the true word of God. Oh, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. You want to hear a truth breathed out by God to every person alive? Here it is. He tells us, for God desires all to be saved, all to be saved, and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is God breathed. That is the truth from the living God, from the lips of God. Oh, we can trust the Word of God. You can build your life. You've heard me say it so. You can build your life on the integrity of the Word of God. It never changes. God never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Oh, listen. What is the Bible? Well, I guess the Bible is the greatest book in the history of mankind. Amen. And you have it. You have it in your hand. But God wants it in your heart.
The Word of God is so good. And we know all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. A Pastor's Study continues tomorrow, and we look forward to being with you once again. Have a good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.